Blog Talk Radio.
Keep doing your thing because you never know. I might be sitting at home with a chicken bone, see on TV. Now, wait a minute. I know them, you know.
Double O, double U, double E, ooh wee. Looking for the sweetest hit. Well, we got the recipe. Been patient waiting for someone to show you. So we gonna show you how. We gonna break it down. We gonna break it down.
Oh, man. Hey, Al, they should have been singing the whole time live.
Exactly, man.
I got 10 engagements. If I go to one event, I got like 5-6 people, you know, booking me. Blam, blam, blam. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I'm independent. And I am doing, I'm independent. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing it like on a big scale. Like, I'm a real artist. I'm like, what? But, hey. I spoke.
You are a real artist. I am a real artist.
Was written, and you know what? You know what? Cause I'm so appreciative. You zeroed in right where I really want the reader to get. That's really the reason why I wrote the book.
I'm blown away.
I told God I would be faithful about the spirit that He gave me, and He wouldn't let me release it for some time. But if no one else gets anything out of that book, get chapter 9.
That's very, very simple. You know, I talk nice to them. They call me Daddy, AJ Disco. AJ Disco. 3-5. And I say, sure, I don't do no physical harm to them. I just threaten to take the food, the clothes, and the home from them. And they act right.
Okay. I was just thinking maybe you might have to clean house or something like that, but that's great.
Well, back in the old days when I first started, I used to use the duct tape and the clothes hangers and all
that. Yeah. See, I thought that, because that's an old tried and proven practice.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard.
It's a national anthem. I make them all say before I put them on the street. They say, "We are K-Tickle Girl, the one you heard about. We fight with knives and 45s and broken bottles too. We are K-Tickle Girl, so who the hell are you?"
Oh, mercy.
Who the hell are you?
Okay, I was just about to ask you that. Like, what genre would you say most of your music, I guess, is in? I don't want to put you in a box or anything, but what do you feel it most represents, your style of music?
Well, Ron Hill, who's one of my partners, and we formulate the Love Brothers. We've just finished our 4th CD as well. He lives in Virginia. He said it's a combination of jazz and hip-hop, which he calls Jip Jop, which I registered and copyrighted right away.
No, other than the fact that, you know, like you said, I was sitting there. There was times when I was sitting beside him while he was doing his beats and everything, and, I don't want to call him his real name. Taz has come a long way, and his music
Thank you,
is...
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the voice, and as I said before, T-A-Z, host the show, man.
A-T-A-Z-P, from T-A-Z-P Live, this is T to the A to the, y'all know the rest. We doing Night Court, too. Got a caller on the line. I think I know who this is, but I'm going to let them identify themselves. 623, area code 623. Welcome to ATAZP Live. What's up?
Hey,
what it is, everything is everything. It's Sadiq for all of you that don't recognize my voice, and here I am without my attorney.
How you doing, Paula?
I'm doing fine, baby brother. How are you?
I'm chilling. I got a call from Mark, and he said he couldn't get through, so I'm waiting on him to call so we can start this. The very first thing I really want to start with, it ain't no case. This could be a sidebar. Did you see Kanye West singing on American Idol?
I'm sorry, I missed it.
But wait a minute. Remember what that show is all about. It's a singing show, right?
Yeah, I'm familiar with American Idol.
Okay, Kanye West, you familiar with his work too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, he don't sing, my sister. So that's the point I'm making. Did you see this singing? They got it on the net. And
okay.
people referred to saying that he was worse than the artist that was already on. I mean, he was singing through audio tone, of course. So,
what was he singing?
Nah, he wasn't lip syncing. At least they didn't do that. But audio tone. Now, you know, I don't know if people know this, but I'm not feeling that. I mean, it was all right when Roger was doing it, Teddy Riley doing it. I'm even accepting T-Pain because he brought it back in the limelight, and that's all
okay.
He does.
Is audio tone a software system for music editing?
And voice editing. And voice
Well, was the brother Toa?
No,
he did
really
he have his buzz on?
Nah, this is the way the regular song go. He sing with the audio tone in there. You know, Kanye West raps, really.
Yeah.
Why is he on American Idol? There you go. That's the point I was making.
So you want to know, I'm going to give you my take on that, all right? And I think since the death of his mother that he's had a problem adjusting to that and, you know, dealing with certain issues. And perhaps they have him on. He has, you know, a doctor, perhaps a professional psychiatrist, who has him on medication for his depression. And I can speak from personal experience that sometimes it's very difficult to perform if you've got Prozac in your system or Elavil or Triavil or something like that. So maybe because he wouldn't be so fantastic in front of a live audience doing his own show, they want to keep him in the public light and figure, hey, well, we're going to have him in front of 90 million people in front anyway.
And figuring that he's
going to
ratings
right.
And a lot of people to watch.
Right. So they don't forget Kanye when he gets himself together and his next album comes out, then, yeah, Kanye's right back on top. That's the only thing I can think of. See, sometimes you ain't got to watch stuff. Sometimes you don't have to watch stuff to figure it out.
Well, what we're going to do, I'm going to play off of Mark Lacey's new CD, the song Acoustic MacDow. And then
yeah,
I'm going to put him on the other line, and we're going to play this song and come back and open the court.
All righty then.
Here we go.
Oh, going in circles like geometry. You were far away, and while I was hoping for you, I was telescoping you like astronomy. Pardon me as I attempt to get my words together, for thoughts are all over my head like cloudy skies during bad weather. But let me stop with the reminiscing, because when we were together, there were some things that appeared all the time, but when we truly needed them, they came up missing. People told bold-faced lies about us, and as a result, we ended up dissing one another. But cutting to the chase, based on my actions, you know that I loved you. Based on the vibe, you knew that I loved you. Based on my words, well, that's a whole different story. But honestly speaking, you never believed me when I told you that it was hard for me to tell you that I loved you. Then you really lost it when you chose not to see me because I didn't tell you that I loved you. You then cut me off like a water supply to a trough just because I didn't tell you that I loved you. And yes, the devil lied, but to me, the honest truth is, I tried. Remember when I first saw you at a football game? I just looked as you walked into the stadium. Your beauty set my mind and every paradigm through hoops like a gymnasium. My thoughts of you became so intense that I almost cracked my cranium. But at least I forget, my journey down memory lane ain't doing nothing but causing us both pain. But the difference between your pain and my pain is that my pain is broke pain. Because we were two cars cruising down love's highway, headed in the same direction, but we couldn't even get in the same lane. While the shame that's currently wreaking havoc on my face has migrated to my mouth, and even if you blew a kiss to me, I'd still get a bad taste. But no need for me to waste time. I feel like a broke poet down to his last line. I'm hoping and praying that this fraction of a rhyme that I have left will reclaim you as mine. I just pray that you realize that the words that I kick to you are coming from the deepest depths of an almost desperate man, trying his best to be kind. And I understand that it may be too late to salvage what's left of a relationship that tripped off the acid of infidelity and reality won't allow the tape to rewind. If I say it, please don't ask me to play it again. But I love you. I love you. I know
that
I love you.
I am here. What is happening?
And Paula is on a separate line. This is Paula, the woman that you met at one of the house parties. Paula Patrick.
You civil tongue devil. You sound so good. I love that beat.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Bless you, brother. Bless you.
Thank you.
We're going to start the court. This is the appellate court. The docket number for tonight is the month, which is the third month, 03, the day of the year, which is 072, the 72nd day of the year, and the year number, which is 09. So the docket is 03, 072, 09, and each case will be -01 up until how many cases we get through tonight. I got a dozen of them. Case 01, which is the case that would never go away.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Killer careers. Could the incident with Chris Brown and Rihanna kill their careers? Brown's music has been pulled on several stations and dropped. He was dropped by the Gotten Milk ad and Double Mint ads. So he is quickly fading down. So I want your opinions whether he's going down, they're going down, their careers are going to be messed up over this incident. And it's, as always, it's ladies first. So, Paula, you have the floor.
Now, I'm holding to my last comment when we discussed Mr. Chris Brown. I told you that his mama's still managing him. All right? And in light of all of that, I think because both of them are very young and he has such a passion to perform, if he gets depressed enough because his sponsors are pulling out, yeah, I believe the brother's going to go down. I think that there may be even more alleged violence in the relationship, some type of abuse, let's put it that way. It could be emotional abuse, verbal abuse, however. But I do believe that it's going to have a great strain. I think they're too young to actually weather this storm.
Okay. So he's going down. They're going down.
I think they're going down. I believe they're going down.
Mr. Mark Lacey.
Typically, American trend says that whenever an incident to this effect takes place, it's going to get all of the attention in the world, and we all know good and well that all of these sponsorships start pulling based on the negative attention, okay?
Right.
And it's a trend. As soon as somebody else messes up, as soon as a big, big case takes place, both of them lay low and just chill out for a minute, do the right community things, say the right things, and just keep a low profile, they will slowly come back up because everybody gets sponsorship pulled. I mean, that's nothing new.
Right.
That happens all the time. Look what happened to Kobe. Kobe lost about 85 to 90% of his sponsorship, but he got it all back and then some now.
Yeah.
So over to America, whenever there is a sexy story, America seems to go on this, like, mass hysteria thing. And when all of your network news channels and all of your radio stations are talking about the buzz, you know, a buzz is going to die down.
Right.
And as soon as that story is not sexy anymore, because two, three months from now, we might not even be having this conversation. We
mm-hmm.
might be talking about something else. And now, mind you, I do agree that this is not the first time that this incident, an incident like this has occurred between the two, and it won't be the last time. I mean, let's be smart. You know, we could be on TV all day talking about, well, I think he needs to go to counseling and blah, blah, blah. Them two and God are the only entities which know what went on exactly in their car that night. It just got amplified because they were on their way to a big public show.
Right.
Okay, but I promise you, I can guarantee it, that's not the first time that it has happened, and it won't be the last time. Look how quick they made up. So I think, yeah, they might be done for now, but they're not done forever because both of them are extremely talented and still have a large following. If Britney Spears can go up and down like Dow Jones, so can Chris Brown and Rihanna.
Well, let's see if they turn out to be Bobby and Whitney.
Ooh, please don't make that reference. Oh, please don't.
Because Bobby and Whitney, they weathered those storms. I mean, no, they weathered the storms because, well, Whitney, she did slide downhill a little bit because of certain circumstances. But if they weather the storm, it'll be under the same machinations that Bobby and Whitney weathered all of their bad press. And I'm going to add here. There's no such thing as bad press. Okay.
True.
You say what you want to say about any doggone body. There's no such thing as bad press. So sponsors pulling out, yeah, that's one thing. My observation comes from whether or not they intimately can handle the storm.
I got a caller on the line, I think. On the path, that's what it says. Caller, are you there? I guess not.
Probably Rhiannon.
But what I'm gonna say, I agree with you, Paula. I think they could be done for real because I'm you know, kids, they're gonna shine. The kids were their audience mainly, and you know how a lot of people are trying to say, well, I'm not gonna have my daughter act like Rihanna and get beat by some man, and you know, so I'm not gonna have her listen to any of her music no more. Chris Brown, all his women were young ladies, but you know that's gonna kill a lot of his audience too. So I don't know. I don't see how they can weather the storm unless they really just chill out for a long while, like Mark said, and come back later on.
Well, if I may add, you during a time like this, you gain a whole new audience. I mean, they're going to, you know, it might transfer, but there are some people who would love Chris Brown to stand in a bad boy light and would praise him for that. So, again, you might lose some people, but you're going to gain some people in another area. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. You have a popular audience out there, and then you got that underground audience who loves the taboo, who loves the forbidden, who loves the thoughts of these figures being instilled within a forbidden situation.
And individuality, looking at it from, as you know, both of them being separate entities, their careers aren't going to suffer. Individually, their careers, I can't see their careers suffering. But if we're talking about the relationship, I do believe the relationship itself is suffering. And like I said, there's no such thing as bad press. And if there is any truth to what Chris did, then let me say, mothers, stop raising your daughters and loving your sons. Raise your sons, too.
And you know, I have a gut feeling. Well, it's more than a gut feeling. I am very confident that they wouldn't have gotten back together as quickly if it were the first time this thing had occurred.
Right.
Mm. He put a Thomas Hearns, Muhammad Ali, rope-a-dope haymaker job on her, okay? And it's like, boom. For her family's sake, okay, she resisted for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But they're right back together. Mm-hmm. They're doing a duet now.
And the
girl's legs
are insured with Lloyd's of London.
Mm-hmm.
Her legs are actually insured for, I think, $2 million with Lloyd's of London. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the premium is now.
Wow.
Well, that case, I guess we're going to say the careers will be put on hold or test the water and see how it weathers out the storm.
It'll be fine.
Case number two. Rocky, who threw the shoes at Bush, is jailed for 3 years. The 30 journalist pleaded not guilty. He said, what I did was a natural response to this occupation. Do you think that this journalist should be 3 years for throwing his shoes at President then George Bush?
Are we talking about Junior?
We're talking about the one who was the president just left office, W.
And he what?
An Iraqi, when he was over in Iraq, threw a pair of shoes at him while he was at a press conference. Yeah, it was a press conference, right?
They put that all on the
In the country, in that country, well, in the Middle East, all over, you cannot show anyone who's entertaining you the bottom of your feet. You cannot show them the bottom of your shoe because that is a direct insult. I would trust your listeners, if you're ever invited for dinner at a Middle Eastern house, do not let them see the bottom of your feet because that is a total insult. That means that you are beneath their shoes. The customs translate in when in Rome, do as the Romans do. That's all I can say. That, I remember, I don't know whether it was Bush, but it was another member of our political administration, our government administration, that had shown their feet. Oh, I think it was during a conversation with Saddam Hussein, and it was Bush. And if Bush has done it again, that's very indignant of him.
Well, that reporter was just mad with him because of the fact that, with, you know, the army troops was over there in Iraq, and he was just upset with it. So he threw his shoes at Bush. Bush ducked, but the guy got 3 years. So do you agree with the sentence that they gave him 3 years for throwing his shoes at him?
No, I don't. Actually, well, you know what? When I talk about events such as this, the racial discrimination, stuff like this, in our country, it's against the law to run into a theater and yell fire. All right? And
right.
If you have, I had an incident where this little Nazi chick was calling my daughter the N-word. And it just, I didn't know how many blacks lived on our street, but I tell you, they were coming out the woodwork when they heard this. And you couldn't, I quelled it. There was no riot, but there could have been a riot. Now, if he's over there doing something that's against their custom, that considers a defilement, all right, to me, that's running into a theater yelling fire. Okay? And Bush, from his first experience with Saddam Hussein, or whoever it was, Bush is aware of this custom. So if Bush was doing this again, he was disgracing the country. And I don't think that the man should have been penalized. Whether he was an American citizen or whether he was an Iraqi citizen, I mean, look, that's almost an act of war. Those are almost rules of engagement. So that's...
What is your opinion on this?
Well, and not to try to show a political hand or card by any stretch of the imagination, I do know in several countries, the magnitude of the offense is looked upon differently. However, as different as all of these countries are, assaulting or an attempt assault on a public official is a violation, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
And I know in some countries they're just assassinated, and not to make light of that, and that was looked upon by the Iraqi authorities as an assault on a public official, and. Yeah. Yes, and you're absolutely correct. But, you know, when you hold up your shoe and you show them the sole of your shoe, that is the ultimate insult. And I guess for one to be compelled to do something like that, it should give you an indication of how strongly they felt about their opinion about an atrocity or something like that. And, again, I'm not trying to give my opinion on why they may have done it, but – at the same time, you know, regardless of what anybody thinks of W now or thought about W then, he was still the chief executive officer of the United States of America, regardless. And that was an attempted assault on a public official, even though it was just a shoe. As far as the 3-year sentence, which I'm not sure he's going to do all 3 of those years. I think there is a large contingency of the Iraqi people who will view that gentleman as a folk hero. And I guarantee you, you know, if he's blessed enough to live through that sentence and he gets out, he'll probably be set for life.
Yeah.
Is it justified for 3 years? I mean, honestly, I can't really make an intelligent call on that. Because you have, because if you can remember correctly, they were going to try, one option was to try that gentleman in the United States.
That was going to be my question. Where were they going to try him?
Well, the knee-jerk reaction says we're going to ship him over to the U.S. and we're going to try him there.
Right.
But they changed it and said that because it happened on Iraqi soil, the Iraqis would have to deal with. I don't know if it was done that way in those specific terms or whatever, but I think that was the mindset.
They
so,
got a call on it. Yeah, the Iraqi. This is the Iraqi who sent this other Iraqi. Yeah, you said, Mark, they are treating him as a hero because he defied, you know, President Bush. But 3 years, I think, whatever they send him to, that's what he should get. I mean, you're right, he shouldn't attack the public official. That means if he would have disagreed with a public official from Iraq, he would have got the same treatment. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah.
A public official is a public official, and they demand.
I agree that the Geneva Convention, I mean, those are set. And whether or not the Iraq Republic is a part of the Geneva Convention yet, because you can't be if you've committed genocide. But we have a brand new government forming there in Iraq, which brings me to say that the knee-jerk reaction that Mark mentioned about trying them in the United States, I'm sure the Iraqi says, well, look, we're forming our own government here so we can try him here. Where he's going to be tried, I don't know. It's probably a game of bingo. But the Geneva Convention is clear, and if they are members of the Geneva Convention, then he should be subject to the recompense of what that law states. Still, not involving myself in politics, my feeling is you can't run into a theater and yell fire. I mean, to us, it's nothing. We sit back and cool, chill out with our friends, our feet up on the couch and stuff like that. That's us.
Yeah. It's one of those situations where it had a shock effect all throughout the world because we were at the point, because it happened, now if I'm not mistaken, TAZ, it happened after Obama was elected, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It happened, and so, and you know, at that particular time, there were a lot of people who were really tired of the previous administration. You all know how the world just lampooned one party compared to the other party. I mean, they get ripped apart on comedy shows, Saturday Night Live, stand-up comics. And when that happened, my goodness, I mean, YouTube, all of these, like your social networking sites, they had taken some footage of the actual occurrence and put their own little spin on it. The jokes were flying. So it had to, whoever's decision it was to ultimately decide the location on where this gentleman would be tried and how, and the magnitude of the sentence, they had to tread lightly because everybody, I think more people were laughing at it than anything.
Yeah.
It was hard to, I'm not going to lie, it was hard to look at that video and take it seriously. You had to separate yourself from the climate.
Yeah.
You had to separate yourself from the climate. You separate yourself from the climate, that man threw his shoe, even though it was just a shoe, that was an attempted assault on a public official who happened to be the chief executive officer, regardless of what anybody thinks about him, of the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so hard to separate the two.
You have to go back.
I have to interject. I think that, I don't think the boy should go down. No, I have to interject that this is not the first time that Bush has been completely aware that that's something that you don't do. So I think that it was indignance on his part. But that aside, I don't think that the man should get 3 years. I'm sorry.
Well, I do, and Mark did too, because he said it's a public official, and I agree with that end of it. I thought it was kind of, I thought it was lengthy, but hell, like I said to myself, if he would have tried it on an Iraqi official, he would probably have got beheaded. So he came out.
He put his arms off, killed his family.
But can I add this?
Yes.
Now, what's bizarre about that whole incident, what that gentleman did was probably in the minds of several W haters all around the world and even within the United States.
Yeah. No
you
doubt.
See what I'm saying? You got a lot of people who go down for doing things and saying things that other people are thinking all of the time.
And they probably were thinking that. Yeah, you're right.
And I'm not to stray from the path. Can you imagine if our salvation was determined by our thoughts? Man, hell would be on swole.
Totally.
Hell would be on swole. There'd be a line wrapped around Club Hell. So again, my thing is, okay, I don't think it was an intelligent move on his part, but he probably got more intestinal fortitude than a lot of us comfortably here in the Western world.
Okay.
Because that's what you call, I'm not saying it's a smart conviction, but it is conviction. And the question is, at the end of the day, and I'm not trying to send anybody a signal here, what are you willing to die for? What are you willing to put yourself in harm's way for?
That's exactly right.
Will you talk about the change, or will you do like Gandhi said, be part of the change that you're talking about? You know, we all sit up in church every Sunday and nod our heads or whatever day we go to church on. You know, we sit up, bob our heads. You know, we're real fired up over a nice, fiery sermon. Go eat, talk about the sermon, and go home, and we're going to be our regular selves. When you get home, you're going to do what you do because you do it because you're a human being, and that's it.
That's a very, very, very good point, Mark. And you know what? In thinking of that and Gandhi's quote, I would be inclined to agree with both Judge Taz and you. The only reason why I can't is because it was their country.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
The only reason why I can't. Other than that, you know, if it happened here or if he was entertaining an Iraqi dignitary here, and he did it, then that'd be different. But, you know, I believe everybody's country is all we have. Our country is all we have. But it's a gray area, and that's just my position. I could say I'm split. I can go as far as saying I'm split.
I'm hitting the gavel down. Case number three. This is something you guys are probably not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Group housing residents forced by employees to fight. In Houston, Texas, 7 employees of the state-run home for the mentally disabled have been suspended for staging fights between its residents.
Oh, yeah.
They were running their own fight club. Since 2007, fights were staged and recorded on employee cell phones. Okay. We're going with the ladies first, and I already know you what you're getting ready to say, but go on and state your opinion. Do they got to go down, or were they keeping it real?
And you know what? My grandmother used to tell me something. She'd say, if you're going to do wrong, do it by yourself because you won't tell on yourself. All right?
Say that.
And as far as I'm concerned, they got to go down. They got to go down because that's just ludicrous. I mean, even if you want to have your little private. And I understand now, my husband and I were watching something on television where they were starting fights at after hours at clubs and stuff like that. And it's just this show that shows these fights. On television, you know, one guy got killed. I swear this, they didn't say it, but I swear this guy's dead. But, you know, so they take the pictures with their cell phone and upload them to YouTube, all right? The world is becoming monstrous. I mean, we have, Oscar Wilde, one of my favorite writers, says, that America just skipped civilization and went straight to decadence. It's a quote that I use often. It's paraphrased, but it's a quote I use often. And this is crazy. If you feel the passion to do something like this, then you know what? Don't get caught. And if you're going to get caught, then just be prepared to suffer the consequences. Mm. So I think they should go down.
Mm. Mark Lacey.
Wow. I mean, wow. I mean, you said it all. This is my thing. You know, in my office at work, we have to keep the TV on a network news channel, so we can keep up with what is going on and try to discern possible threats or what have you. You see a headline like that, and you know, you think it's pitiful, right? But somebody puts a folder on your desk and you off doing your action items at work. But let that happen to your uncle or cousin or somebody, man, you'd be ready to kill somebody. You'd be ready to start dumping on somebody. Pardon my expression. I mean, when it comes to family, you're going to always be knee-jerk. I don't care who you are.
Right.
I don't care how calm, cool, and collective you are. You're going to be knee-jerk as all get out. And so when you hear about stuff like that, you wonder, again, you know, you talk about the decadence thing. People with the sagging economy now, for the past couple of years, people have been using viral videos to get rich.
Right.
And viral videos on YouTube, and trust me, I'm not calling out YouTube or blaming YouTube for anything.
Right.
I'm just saying people put these videos out there, and they get those hits. It gets national attention. CNBC, CNN, and Fox News are showing these videos, and pardon my analogy with this. Do you remember the guy on American Idol? And I do not watch American Idol. I'm sorry, I don't watch it, but there was a gentleman on there who could not sing a lick, and they made him a star, okay?
I felt bad for that guy.
Yeah, the Asian guy.
He had the song, She Bang. I felt bad for him.
And I draw a parallel to this situation, what they're doing at this institution. It's almost like you are, you go into like a mentally ill hospital or whatever, and you're just putting guns in everybody's hands, and you're getting out of there. You're getting out of harm's way.
Right.
And you just go watch them unload buckshots on each other.
Popcorn.
They should be tried for freaking attempted murder. They need to put their butts under the jail for that. That is atrocious, man. When I saw that report on CNN,
mm-hmm.
I said, man, I got to get this thought out of my mind.
I got to get it out
of my mind because it's crazy.
You know what? As artists, because all three of us are artists, and I can really relate to Mark and the passion he has for this, being he's a colleague, fellow writer. You know, the passion. We see something and visualize it. We use words, okay, to make a point, because words you can't take back. All right, so we're careful about everything that we write, and we want it to make a point. When we see something like that, it translates quickly into our spirit, and our muse goes on tilt.
Ooh, what you talking about?
They got to go down
like the Titanic, man.
That's got to go down. And forget the life belts. They should have just took them all off the ship in this case.
Case 04, woman embezzles $10 million and buys 400 pairs of shoes. This forced her company, Quality Woodworks Incorporated, a cabinet business, to make layoffs, as she bought 400 pairs of shoes, put them in a room-sized closet with a crystal chandelier and plasma TV. Annette Yeomans, 51, embezzled the money from 2001 to 2007. $10 million, 400 shoes. We're going to let the lady go first because I know she understands shoes.
You know, me and Cece Ross, that's the first for me. We're on the 700. We hit DFW as soon as I got to Atlanta. Yes, we did. And 400, and then, you know what? Putting women in a position where they can do a situation like that, I have to say, and I love you brothers. I love my brothers. Y'all both know I love you with all my heart. I love men, and I love men for the simple reason that they will be the first to confess that they don't understand women. There's an inner sympathy, okay, an affinity that I have for men, because when the storm hits, they can't understand how come they didn't see it coming. All right? Props to my girl.
But she got to go down, right?
She can't go down. Talk to her. She can't go down because, you know what? There should have been somebody watching the watcher.
Well, they watched a little too late. She went through
it. They did. That's what I'm saying. She went, and you know what? Her closet sounds like Oprah's because I've seen Oprah's closet. All right, and Oprah does have a section, you know, for, and she does, all, Oprah also has a chandelier in her closet. All right, oh, okay. Now, you know what Oprah doesn't have, and I hope my girl thought about this, because you have to be kind to leather just like you have to be kind to fur. I mean, we put our furs in the freezer off-season and stuff like that. I hope she has a, I hope she had a climate-controlled room. And that's all I gotta say.
Well, you know, usually when something like this takes place, you don't know whether they should try the person for trying to be slick or the fact that they're guilty or just stupid. You know, and sometimes in court, that stupid factor ought to come in when it comes to the sentencing. And now, because, you know, and we hear it all the time. You hear, you know, one of your boys got caught cheating on his wife, and the way she found out, you know, he looked stupid because, you know, it's like, dang, at least he could have done this and done that, you know. Mm. And it's like, well, he ought to be tried in the stupid court, too. Well,
in the stupid, yeah.
The thing is now, everybody, if there's ever been a time where Americans are emotional about money, now is the time.
Oh, yeah.
So when you think of stuff like that, you're like, okay, there couldn't be a sentence harsh enough. Simply because people's 401ks are vanishing. You got executives who have received bailout money, but before the economy tanked, they were on islands having Christmas parties.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you got those Enron executives up there, the law protecting them, they could plead the fifth. You know, you got these guys with these law with these finance degrees from Harvard who are like CFOs of these companies who ain't got jack to say at the hearing. You know, how do you have all of these finance degrees from these Ivy League schools, but all of a sudden you just messed up in the book? It does not happen. Okay. All of us had our clocks clean. That's the bottom line, and it's having a residual impact. It's having a domino effect.
Yeah,
the companies, there were certain companies that were exposed, but check it. Those were the companies that were exposed. Think about the companies that have not been exposed.
Not been.
She should get away with this?
Well, because the climate says she needs to go down. Now is not the time to mess with anybody's money.
That's what the court agrees wholeheartedly. 400 shoes, she should have been smarter than that. That's what I'm agreeing with, too. I mean, people lost their jobs over this.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. She spent $10 million on 400 pairs of shoes?
Yeah, she embezzled $10 million and bought 400 pairs of shoes.
Oh, okay.
And the company had to lay off jobs.
Oh,
found
that's
out
that's sad. Yeah. Oh, because of the embezzlement? Oh, no, she got to go down. I thought that they just discovered she did it. I didn't know the company went belly up.
Yeah, the company had to lay off people and everything
That's
else.
That's not right. No. Hanger.
Okay, case 05. Alaska Governor Palin's daughter and fiance, they broke up. Levi Johnston and Bristol Palin, teenage daughter of Governor Sarah Palin, broke off their engagement after 2.5 months after the couple had their baby. My question is, young love involving marriage, are we for it or against it?
Young love involving marriage.
Are we for it or against it? And I'm going straight to you ladies first all night long.
All right. Now, can I give you guys a little background history? I mean, you're probably aware of this, but for the sake of the program, I need to say this. When Palin was chosen and put before the public, it was already announced that her expectant daughter and the boyfriend, he had taken a position where he was not going to be pinned down. All right. He did not want to have anything to do with this political campaign, but because in the United States, the president must be married, as is the vice president. Of course, you're supposed to be in control of your household as well. I don't want to get into that's another show, because I think that Palin was sacrificing her family for her political career, but that's another show. Nonetheless, they felt it necessary. Everybody involved with the grooming of her felt it necessary to bring this gentleman along to the campaign on the campaign road. He had already made verbal statements that he did not want to get pinned down and didn't know if he wanted to continue the relationship. As far as young love is concerned, I will say, and it's been written and reworded many times, but baseline, youth is wasted on the young, okay? And right, the generations of your grandmothers, my grandmothers, our great-grandmothers, they could marry at 13 years old. They knew they had a purpose. They knew what they were supposed to do. Most of those relationships survived. Nowadays, you can't take a young – my mother is an ordained minister, and she does extensive counseling. Well, when she was behind the pulpit, she did extensive counseling, and she was noted as the Margaret Thatcher of the Presbyter, because she would not marry everybody.
Right.
And I don't believe that everybody should be married. When I say that I don't believe in marriage, I'll say it, I could reword it, because I don't feel that people recognize the commitment. I have been married for over 36 years. My husband and I have had ups and downs, but we had to remember what the vow was and whether we were going to commit ourselves to making this work. It is not easy. Marriage is hard work. And at that age, I think they're too young to make a conscious decision as to whether or not they're going to keep up with it.
With the young factor, I was looking at it as the young factor in, you know, today's society.
I think that's too young.
I know back a long time ago, they used to marry young. In the country, they marry young. They still got that law in effect in Alabama.
In Kansas City, 13, you can be married.
And sometimes it can work, but I'm thinking more or less in today's society, working with today's society. So what is your final word on this?
I just think that they're just too young to make that commitment.
Okay.
Love, I don't think they know what love is.
Mark Lacey, it was a young love involving marriage. Are we for it or against it, going with this Palin's daughter breaking up with her fiance?
Well, I am although I'm not married, I am a proponent of the institution of marriage. You know, my by the grace of God, my folks have been married for 44 plus years. So right. I do believe in the institution. And however, because I am such an opponent of letting politics run everything, I admire the young man's intestinal fortitude for, you know, saying that, you know, he could easily ride off the fame of that situation and be unhappy as all get out. You know, wearing the mask that grins and lies.
That's a good point, Mark.
And so I admire, although but I'm hoping in doing so that he is a responsible father and that he does, properly take care of his seed. But I do admire the fact that I am getting out of this mess. And I'm not just going to hold on. Because, you know, when people reach a certain amount of years of marriage, they will take just about anything that their spouse does, especially if their spouse is in a very powerful position.
Right.
You know, so that he could easily and could probably still make some money off the situation by writing a book. You know, but I think that they were, number one, too young, period, to make an intelligent decision on that.
Mm-hmm. So I agree with both of you. She was a teenager, so, I mean, they were too young to be talking about marriage. And more or less, the marriage part was probably forced upon both of them, being the position that the mother was in.
Could very well be. Because they're young. Too young.
Let me say this. I'm glad that he, too, showed that he wasn't intimidated by the prowess of the most prominent figure in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because easily, you know, you think like, dang, you know, I might be a resident of Alaska and I'm trying to get a job with the state.
Actually, the young man, he left Alaska. He left Alaska when he found out the young girl was pregnant, and he went on to Texas or Kansas City. They brought him in from the state where he resided because I think they sent him to live with it was a relative. I can't remember, uncle, aunt, grandfather, whatever. But they sent him away when they found out that she was pregnant, and he said he didn't think he wanted to be a part of it. Of course, I think he did express that he would take care of the child. But like I said, I began to say, they brought him back from we're the lower 49. Okay, they brought him back.
48. Yeah. Remember, Alaska and Hawaii. Case 06. This involves rapper 50 Cent will post a porn tape featuring one of Rick Ross' baby mamas. The two have been feuding, which included animated videos, radio station disses, and a video where 50 took one of Ross's other baby mama on a shopping spree. My question is there room for beef in the music industry, or these beefs in the music industry also promote more sales? Do you think it's good for the music industry to have beefs between different artists? Here we go. Being that we all three are artists, ladies first, Ron, Paula, Pat, and Ross, do you agree that beefs are good or they're bad for the music industry?
I'll go back to an earlier statement. There is no such thing as bad press.
That's a good point. I do not think about that.
I don't like to see dissension in any among colleagues. I don't like it. I don't like to see it propagated. I don't want to see it fed or nurtured. I don't believe in that. And it's all about the money. My creativity is not based on money. I got a message, and so I put it out there. The message gets out there. That's the important thing to me. If I happen to make a couple of bucks along the way, then so be it. That's crazy. But for most people, all right, it's you know, that money, that hunger, it's like the gold strike of 49. They start getting this fever when people, managers, agents are throwing, well, you could do this and make this, and you could do that and make that. Then there's no such thing as bad press. As long as you keep their name within the public ears, all right, they're going to remember. 92-year-old women are going to remember that name.
So you're agreeing that beef in the industry is a good thing because it's...
My brother, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with it. But you know what? It seems like it's a necessary evil.
Okay.
It's an inevitable evil.
Before we take your opinion, Mark, we got a caller on the line, and I think I know Paula ought to know who this is. Caller, identify yourself. You're on ATAZP Live.
It is I.
Go and identify yourself, caller. Did we hear?
Mm.
Did you hear it, Paul?
No. Oh.
It was supposed to be Amazon.
I said it. That was AC.
Oh, no, that ain't AC.
Oh, okay.
That was supposed to be Amazon. But we couldn't
hear. Oh, she probably got her lines mixed up.
You know who Amazon is. We both know her from the chat room, Mark. And,
yeah.
She's a poet as well, am I correct?
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She's a poet. She's an authoress. She's an artist. Very prolific woman, and Amazon doesn't even do justice to the woman's knowledge and her talent.
She is in the chat room right now. I guess the connection just didn't work.
Just figured out.
Mark, go on. Give your opinion on the beef in the industry.
Man, it's, I agree with Paul. It's one of those things that, again, America has this thing. America has an affinity for sexy shock effect. And when I say sexy, no pun intended, when a story is sexy, that means it's very attractive, very alluring.
Yeah.
And, you know, we like to diss something and then go support it. We like to diss something and be very, very eager as to what's next from the situation or from the person. 50, you know, I think he's at the point in his career where he needs to start. My boy got millions, got franchises, got clothing lines, got all kinds of mad investments. But now is the time where you reach that point in your career where everything that you do, it should be, you should take it as you are on the spot and being that role model. Now, mind you, you know, when he came out with In the Club and all that, when he was peaking then, yeah, that was the time to do all that knucklehead stuff and blah, 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 because, you know, you got to do whatever to capitalize on it. Now, I think he's beyond that point in that when you do that type of stuff and you get the millions and this, that, and the other, blah, 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 okay, those millions of dollars cannot build a wall high enough to stop those demons from coming back on you.
Yeah, preach.
And you can be A-list out your behind, but still be suffering more than a homeless person in Siberia because those demons and that karma are coming back on you. And I think now, by him doing that now at this age and at this point in his career, it's just feeding the stereotype of what hip-hoppers do, which feeds the stereotype of African-American males and so on and so forth. So, I think he's beyond that phase. I think he needs to chill out.
Yeah, I do too. Being that I am a hip-hopper, I never did find any reason for it. I mean, if somebody did talk bad about you, put them in their place, or you do it constructively where you both going to get some money. And both
well, you know, there was a tiff. I need to add, there was a tiff between Prince and Sinead O'Connor. And she was performing on Johnny Carson or some talk show and everything like that. And Prince made a comment that he would she take her butt back to Ireland and he'll pay for the ticket. Well, if anybody knows anything about Sinead O'Connor, she's a tough little girl. I mean, she's from war-torn Ireland, and she's very tough, another artist with a message and a purpose. And she didn't do it right away. But when she had to go back to Ireland, she did charge that plane ticket to Prince.
So we are in agreement that this
yeah.
There's no room for beef in the music industry.
No,
again, again, we're going to try to get Amazon on here. Amazon, go on. You're on ATAZT Live.
Can you help me now?
My sister.
Say, talk again.
Can you hear me now?
Baby, your voice is breaking up.
For real. You sound like you're on an airplane.
I guess it's been a night, right?
That was a little clearer. Move around the house.
For the next case, case number 7, Dr. Phil and wife in cream skin lawsuit. Dr. Phil's wife, Robin, promised Miracle Hydrate Cream Skin Company, she had enough juice to get their product commercials on time on Phil's show. The company was so fired up that they spent $650,000 on advertising. The product never got advertised on the show, and now the company is suing. Do you think the company has a right to sue because they went out of their way spending their money to on a hope and a dream? Not through Dr. Phil, but through his wife. I mean, it's Dr. Phil's show. It should have already had the paperwork already ready. Am I correct? And thinking that they should have had the paperwork saying that they were going to be on the show with their product?
Did they launch the product, the advertisement for the product on the Dr. Phil's show? Is that what happened?
What happened was, again, Dr. Phil's wife told the company she could get their product advertised.
Oh, on her husband's show. Okay.
But it did not fall in effect. And they spent money ahead of time before there was even anything written down on paper guaranteeing them a spot of advertisement on the show. So they spent $650,000 and did not get their product advertised. Therefore, they're mad, and now they're suing Dr. Phil. So my question is to you, do you think it's fair for them to sue, or should they get their money and be all right about getting their money because the wife promised they could get a spot on the show?
Well, it's not as simple as that. I mean, just giving the money back because, first of all, the money's not there. Secondly, it's a two-way street. Number one, if they did run, well, then again, you have to look at the industry, the entertainment industry as well, television, I should say. When I was approached by QVC to get, I also have a natural skincare business. When I was approached by QVC to go on air, if they liked my commercial, they wanted me to have 22,000 units available of each product that was supposed to be sold. All right, so whether or not they liked my commercial, I had to have in the wing 22,000 units of each product that was supposed to be sold. We're talking about advertising here. At the drop of a hat, they would have to be ready and prepared for what it was they were going to do in the event that Robin was going to give them some playtime, airtime on her husband's show. But they had to make an agreement as to who was going to eat the cost. And if there was no paperwork written, then the company should eat the cost. looking at it from that point of view.
Exactly the way I was feeling. Again, Mark, we got Amazon on a real phone now.
Okay, cool.
Amazon, are you on the line? And also, Spicy One is in the chat room. She's an author as well.
Okay, cool.
Spicy One. See, if you were on your computer, you could look in the chat room and chat along as we're talking. But 318, you are on ATAZP Live.
Hi, Taz. It looks like we're going to have to use the regular phone because for some reason you said I was breaking up.
Yeah.
You got me now?
Glad to hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Wow.
Hey, Paula.
Hey, baby.
Another author, and she writes poetry as well. I've been knowing her for years in the Black Planet chat room.
So where are we at right now in the court?
We're waiting on Mark's response to this cream skin lawsuit against Dr. Fuel and his wife.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the ordeal, but I do know if you don't have anything tangible, you don't have anything firm, concrete, product slash paperwork contract, just another signed contract. You know, it's not, again, in the court of law, it's not what actually happened. It's what you can prove. And in this particular instance, you know, there are certain rules that have to be abided by. You know, I don't know what the correct term is for it, but to me, it's not enough for a case.
It's a burden of proof.
Yeah.
I really think when it comes down to the nitty gritty, like in a regular citizens court, you ain't got the paperwork where they signed to see if you was gonna get a commercial. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got nothing to sign an agreement just on say so. Come on, you wasting time.
Well, legal.
You spent your money because you wanted to get it on there, but hey, you didn't have no promise, no concrete, nothing written down, so I think it'll be thrown out.
Yeah, I do too.
Vermont is legal.
Okay, we're going to case number 808. Also, Spicy One said, Mark, you know her better as Sultry. JL, or do you remember?
Okay.
You know who we talking about now? Her name is Sultry.
You know, yeah, it might be the sinus medicine I'm taking. I'm not able to think clearly now. I think I remember. I don't want to get face from just the face, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I believe I remember. Let me ponder a little bit, and I think it'll come back to me.
You said from MySpace.
Okay.
And I know you know about 2 million people like I do on MySpace.
Well, see, that's my problem. I got 6,800, 6,900.
Okay, case number 8, which I probably don't think nobody heard. 89-year-old takes kids football. Edna Jester refused to return a neighborhood kid's football after it landed in her yard in Blue Ash, Ohio. She had sued her next-door neighbor in December for emotional distress because football and other playthings belonging to them kept landing in her yard. She was charged petty theft. So, does she got to go down for this? Does she got to keep it real? Keep the football. Shoot, is it your yard? Ladies first, we'll go with Amazon. And please, y'all be a little to the point. You don't have to give me a whole sermon. Just, does she got to go down keeping that football or not?
Well, I'd say no. First of all, she's an old lady, and she's probably lonely, and nobody's knocking on her door to see how she's doing. So she's seeking attention.
Okay. Paula Patton Ross, what do you have to say about this?
I don't think the woman should go down. No, I don't think so. That doesn't make any sense. And you know what? Accidents will happen. My mother used to say accidents can happen, but must you give them so much help? I repeatedly winding up in her yard. That doesn't make any sense. Leave a woman alone.
Mark Lacey.
If she were 29 years old, it would be a whole different story. But, I mean, she lived her life now. I mean, I should say let it go. That's when you got to let go and let God.
Mm.
Stay real. Okay, case 09. Yale student sues airline for $1 million. 21-year-old Jesse Merriman says during a flight from New Haven, Connecticut to Cincinnati in December, his Xbox 360 with a special hard drive disappeared from his luggage.
Mm.
He's asking for $1,700 for the loss of the gaming system and for maximum damages allowable of $1 million.
Should he get the punitive damages?
Should he get the money, or should he just be like, well, the way I feel about it is, what is your proof? I mean, how can you prove that you had it? Do you have a receipt as you walked on the plane? Now, look, I got an Xbox in my luggage, and I don't have a lock on my luggage. And in case you know what I'm saying? I don't understand where he could actually say that he had it in his luggage altogether at all.
Mm-hmm.
And if he didn't have a lock on it, ain't he liable anyway? So we'll go ladies first again. Amazon.
Okay, first of all, in this period of time, you cannot lock your luggage. All luggage is susceptible to search because of the 911 thing, 9/11 thing. Okay.
Well, if you're not carrying it on,
if you're not carrying it on, you cannot lock it. Personal experience: locked the bag. When I got it back, the zipper was broken. Where I had locked the two tabs together. They cut it open so they could get into it. So it's right now you can't lock your luggage. So anybody in that facility could have taken it. Guarantee that it was there. If he insured it when he got on the plane, we don't know this.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, Paula.
Yeah, so the problem is the new laws and stuff do not allow you to lock your luggage.
I beg to differ. I just flown and... You can lock your luggage where I went.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
it depends on whether, you know, what airport you're going through.
Yeah, I think it does matter what airport you're going through. And he was coming from Connecticut going to Ohio, New Haven, Connecticut, that is. Paula?
You know, they give out those debit cards, MasterCard or Visa, and I think they should give the young gentleman a debit card for the cost. Depending on how old the Xbox was and whatever other equipment he claims to have lost, because the burden of proof does rest with the airline. They have to prove that he didn't have it. And if the boy can prove that he did have it, then give him one of those little debit cards so he can get his Xbox replaced with the expensive hard drive. And punitive damages, unless his therapist or his general practitioner said that it is necessary that this boy play Xbox for the sanctity, for his health, he ain't getting nothing.
Mark Lacey.
A doggone thing.
Oh, I agree. I don't think he's going to get anything as far as punitive damages. Secondly, if the airline wants to get technical, they can put the onus on him as to say, okay, number one, prove that you had it, prove that you shipped it in that particular flight, and prove that it was in working condition. You know, so they can get that technical if they want to fool with it to that extent. Now, mind you, I'm sure all of us travel and we see how the handlers just throw luggage everywhere. I mean, they bounce it like it's a basketball.
Yes, they
and,
do.
And nobody's flagging them for that. I mean, I think for the sake of the safety of their back, they're taught to handle it a certain way or what have you. But still, I think they may, in this particular instance, they may just give a dog a bone, a couple of passes or something like that, maybe a free pass for a certain time period. Otherwise, they can get real technical just asking, okay, I proved that you had it, period. Prove that it was on this trip and prove that it was in working condition.
Well, I think it's a waste of money, personally, for them to even go to court with this. I think they just should just give the replacement value of the Xbox and whatever else is there and let it go.
Exactly.
I don't think they should. If they go to court, they may lose something in punitive damages, but it wouldn't. I don't think it would be the million. But I do believe that, you know, it would be in the airline's best interest just to replace the Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Case 10. Library card leads to thief. Sheboygan, Wisconsin police say a library card left by thief Christopher Linehart was charged with a misdemeanor theft and property damage. The library card was apparently used to try to unlock a tavern door. Four cases of beer was missing from the tavern. That's how this cat got caught, because he left the library card on the floor. Do we got to go down for being stupid?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, first of all, he may not have been holding his library card. Somebody else could have had the library card.
That's true.
Okay, he could have lost it somewhere, or dropped it there, you know, when he was there doing legal hours, you know.
But they got cameras.
They should have searched his house for the four cases of beer.
No, they have cameras, but it's security, so I'm pretty sure they know that it was him that broke it, that did the B&E.
Yeah, right, because if the picture matches the library card name, then he's got no hope, does he?
No, not a chance in hell.
That is something that should probably be tried again in stupid court. Now, but again, you just never know. Somebody could have had their card stolen, or he could have just dropped it. And we all know that there is – every thief makes a mistake, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Every thief makes – you know, will leave some form of evidence somewhere. And with the technology and know-how that we have now, it doesn't have to be something that's blatant or blaring. It doesn't have to be. It could be something very simple, something very subtle.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is – they can trace and track anything right about now. But if it was the gentleman who possessed the card, who actually committed the crime, again, I don't think they can try him enough in stupid court.
Well, that's the truth.
another
aspect might be, since we don't know if they have video of him or not, and the card is the only proof, how many times have we gone in the store and pulled money out of our purses or wallets and dropped
the card?
You know, so we don't really know what the situation is there. But if he robbed it and it is his card, then yeah, stupid court for him.
The last case being that we got 6 minutes left, case number 1111, New York Assemblyman versus tax on strip bars. Felix Ortiz, a Bronx Democrat, is proposing a $10 tax for patrons of nude and semi-nude dance clubs and strip bars. Do you agree or disagree? Amazon?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. Well, if they tax them, they do tax entertainment, so that's a form of entertainment, so I don't see why it shouldn't be taxed.
Okay. Paula Patton Ross, do you agree?
Oh, that's a query. I'm just wondering what precedent that's going to set. for other things, setting taxes on things like that. And until I look at it in the long run to see what the effect will be down the road, I would say no until I can check that out. It wouldn't get my vote. Let's put it that way. It wouldn't get my vote, not just yet.
Okay. My concern would also be, what would that tax money be used for?
That's another question. I mean, like, what are they going to do with the
what are they going to do? Bring strippers in there? What? I mean,
I know.
Strippers could use it for some prevention program.
He messed me up with that. He said, better strippers going to be in there? What? Mark,
just trying to look at, you know how the panel discussion, one of the panelists always says, well, I'm looking at the big picture. You know, first of all, I think it's a judgmental thing. Someone's just trying to penalize somebody on appearing to do something that might be against a moral standard. But this is my problem. You got politicians sleeping around on their wives trying to enforce these rules. It's like, I can sleep around with my wife, but you can't go look at booty. You know, and you know, it's always, to me, when you look at, when you factor in all of the elements, it's an imbalance there. Just like at one point in the state of Washington, now this is crazy, they said, they allowed, and it's funny, and it's almost in the same headline, said, okay, they're going to allow same-sex marriage, but it's illegal to get a lap dance. You know?
That's ironic.
So I'm like, my goodness, what's the premise? What is your criteria? I mean, how are you compelled? What is the driving force behind this? That's what I want to know. What is the driving force behind that?
That's my point.
My agreement on this case is more money. We poor now. Let's generate. Let's think about how we're gonna generate some more money. That's the reason why they're doing this, because they're trying to generate more money. So if you're gonna spend to go get a lap dance or see somebody naked, you might as well pay the tax. You're doing it in this city. More money, times is hard. Folks want more money. So,
and that's the closest they can get to taxing prostitutes.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to go for each case and give the reading on the verdict. The one with Chris Brown, of course, we said weather the storm.
Is that number 12 that you just did?
Number 11 was the one I just did.
Oh, I thought you had 12.
No. I did have, we talked about, when we first started, we talked about Kanye on American Idol singing. And I'm like, this is a singing show, and Kanye West do not sing. He does hip-hop. So I just totally just with that. Anyway, the first one we did with Mark, when Mark actually came on the show, Chris Brown and Rihanna, we said weather the storm. That Rocky who threw the shoes, we said he got to go down because he assaulted a public official. Case number 3, group house residents forced by employees to fight, got to go down. Women embezzled $10 million buying 400 pairs of shoes, got to go down. Case 05, Alaska Governor Palin's daughter and fiance broke up. We said it was too young for them to get married in the first place. Case 06. Involving 50 Cent and Rick Ross, we also said there should be no beef in the music industry. Case number 07, Dr. Phil and his wife in the cream skin lawsuit. They had no case because nobody didn't really sign any contracts to have a commercial on his show. Case 08, the 89-year-old lady, we said stay real, keep the football, girl. Case 09, Yale students suing for an airline for $1 million. Everybody was in agreement he's not going to get $1 million. He should get whatever the Xbox game is worth. case number 10, the library card thief. We said charge it to the stupid court. Charge it to the stupid court. And case number 11 involving the New York assemblyman versus tax on strip bars. I agreed and overruled everybody and said more money. Thank you for being in the Z Appellate Court, and we try these different cases and headlines. Very interesting conversation between Pat Ross, author of Where Do the Trees Find Shelter, waiting on her next book. Amazon surprise guest just coming in and listening to the show. Spicy, who's in the chat room. I appreciate you for coming in. Another guest that were in the chat room. And author, poet, spoken word artist, Mark Lacey, for coming in the show. I understand, so you're on a very busy schedule. We're out on the left coast somewhere, right?
I'm sorry. The sound of legs kicking in. Did you repeat that?
Where are you at now?
Oh yeah, I'm in Alabama now. I'm in Alabama. That's my home state. Yeah.
Right then. Thank you all for being on Night Court number 2, and I appreciate each and every one of y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Hey, Riff.
All right.
I'm out.
Yeah, take care. Peace and blessings.
Can I get a second, a minute? Can you spend some time? I want to prove to you that the loving can be super fine. Want to take you to the place. Maybe, baby, we can dine in the dark on the bed with the body. Blow your mind. You ain't knowing that the loving can be mighty real. Not a boxer in the ring. Call me real deal. And I'm coming like a comet. Feel the heat. Feel red, black, and blue. Superman of the black steel. Want to do to you. Penetrate our connection. Enhance to you a hot direction. Do you feel it, boo, when I'm giving you erection? Play it in smooth in the hot wet section. Can I come off and say that I love you? There's no other but only love for us too. Do I make you cream when I call your name, boo? In front of some peeps, let's kick it for reals on true.